141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard with European and domestic football still on our minds. Rangers bow out of Europe after a 1-0 defeat at home to Benfica, with the tension turning back to the title race. Celtic welcome Cameron Carter-Vickers back for the visit of St Johnstone tomorrow, with Callum McGregor not too far away. And there's big championship action tonight on the eve of a huge weekend of top flight action as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans.
A night of missed opportunities for Rangers. A night when you had the opportunity to say, would that Sima or Cortez have made a difference when the big chances dropped. A night to say, what is Dessers doing out there? But also a night to say, out, but the consolation, there might still be a treble on the way.
Yeah, a disappointing night for Rangers. And I think purely on the basis of the performance last week in Portugal, I don't think they quite got to those heights last night. Subsequently knocked out, I think it was Ali McCoy's talking about their positional play, you know, in the counter attack, and I think they were caught out with the counter attack. The boy takes the goal really well, but I think Rangers, looking back, wasn't much between the sides. They'll look back and it is an opportunity missed.
Come on then, 01419511025, what is on your mind tonight? Of course, Rangers fans, I would expect you to be reacting to last night. Game specific, what did you make of the 90 plus minutes? What did you make of the performance? Where did it go wrong on the night? Why was the game lost? Why was the tie lost? There's that bigger picture that Hugh Keevans talks about. How disappointed are you? Is it one that's a bit easier to get over when you just turn attention back to what could be a good end to the domestic season? Or did it feel like a bit of a missed opportunity? Did you feel like you matched Benfica over the two legs, and that's eating away at you this morning as you see the draw and see what could have come in that competition? So do let us know all your reaction to last night, please, Rangers fans, whether you were there or not. Let's hear it. Let's go over it all on 01419511025. Celtic fans, injury news good on a couple of ways. Cameron Carter-Vickers back this weekend. It will be offset in the defence by the fact Liam Scales won't make it. So who would you partner Cameron Carter-Vickers with? Is it Stephen Welsh? Is it a rare sighting for Gustav Lagerbielka or someone else? You tell us. Callum McGregor said to be fit after the international break as well. How pleasing is that? An online rumour mill had been turning, maybe suggesting that it was something a bit more serious. So how big a boost is that to know he could well be back after that international break? Huge games this weekend. You look up and down that fixture list. Motherwell, Aberdeen. You've got Aberdeen's overall picture, looking for a manager, slipping further and further down that league, but both of them still in about those sort of top six spots, or maybe worrying about what's behind them. And everywhere you look, big fixtures this weekend. So do give us a call right now on 01419511025.
I know this is torture for you, because in the last five matches in the league, Aberdeen have drawn one and lost four on the bounce. And you're thinking to yourself, Mayovsky hasn't scored for seven games. They're going for a club record, or equaling the club record of 12 league matches without winning any.
Is that right?
And this poor guy is saying, I know what's
going
to happen.
They're going to third part, but listen,
Mayovsky will get a hat-trick and Motherwell will lose.
Like, it's about time he scored, sort of thing.
Well, I can see where Hugh's coming from, but I don't think Aberdeen would really be looking in this fixture favourably going to Fir Park. They're under severe pressure after Wednesday night's result, was it?
Will the potential new manager be in the stands? Will he head along for a cup of tea at Gordon DL's flat first and then into the main stand at Fir Park? Who knows? But anyway, that's just one of a number of big games this weekend. So please, Friday night, let's do it. We can look forward to the weekend action, but also look back. It is going to be our final chance. That's it. That was the last Scottish representative. So this is our last Friday of the season, looking back on European action. What did you make of it, Rangers fans? How do you sum up the run? What happened last night? Get specific about the performance if you wish. And how did you feel waking up this morning? Was there that disappointment, frustration, missed opportunity? Or is it one that's a bit easier to get over when the domestic picture is still all to play for? Let us know right now if you can. 01419511025.
I thought it was a terrific match, I have to say.
Very open, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had the dream scenario, Simon. Wife gone to see daughter.
House to yourself.
Television on.
Vino.
Sound down to zero. And Super Scoreboard playing. And that was me for the entire night. And I thought it was a terrific watch. And also a great listen when we had a caller in the final hour of the programme saying he left Ibrox as soon as as soon as Benfica scored. And he was a real Mr. Angry into the bargain.
Yeah, look, it was. It was an open game, Simon, for sure. It made it quite entertaining for us, just kind of sitting back. The Rangers fans can phone and tell us what it looked like for them. And in the end, that was probably Rangers' undoing, if you look at the nature of the goal they lost.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier on there, I think I was watching, listening to the TV, obviously, so McCoys was doing the co-coms, and he was expressing his concern in that first half when, in the transition, Benfica on the break, there was lots of space, and there was probably a lack of bodies back there as cover, whether that's from Rangers at home, you know, trying to go to get the initial goal, or, you know, it was planned, we don't know. But that was their downfall in the end, because they've broke so quickly. I think it was from a Rangers corner, and the lads taking it brilliantly. But I wouldn't say there was a lot between the sides. I think that's where Rangers will look back and think it's a bit of a missed opportunity, because I thought, as I said earlier, the performance in Portugal was very good.
Yeah.
You know, to come away from there with a 2-2, I think they maybe lost a wee bit with the boy Stellan been injured, because he's brought an energy to the Rangers team recently.
Clement has a phrase for every occasion, and when he said it would be zero challenge to him to get the Rangers players up for what lies ahead on a domestic level, and you know, they have the League Cup, they've got Hearts in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, and they've got two games against Celtic in the league, so the climax of the season will be quite something.
Come on then, don't let Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly dominate for too long. We want to know what you made of it, Rangers fans, the game itself and the bigger picture about Europe and now being out and looking ahead to the domestic football. Get all your calls in as soon as you can to get you in the mood, if that's the right phrase. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says the players can be proud of their Europa League campaign and how they competed with Benfica. He also thinks the goal that they conceded did come from bad decision making.
I don't have any doubt about that, that it's a challenge for the boys, or that there will be one in the dressing room saying, "Ah, oh, we're out of Europe now, the season is finished." No, totally not. I know my boys, I know my dressing room. They will recover well this evening, they will take their ice baths, they will take their food, they will try to sleep, and tomorrow they will come in with a lot of hunger to be ready for Sunday. We're hungry for the two other trophies, yes, so we're gonna all stick together and work really hard to focus now on those two goals. And I read a lot of times the last couple of weeks that it was maybe even better that we were not in Europe anymore by you guys. I didn't agree, I told you. So I still don't agree about that. But no, it's now focusing on the two other trophies.
Dale is a Rangers fan on the line. Dale, how do you look back on it?
I was there last night at the game, and I thought we played okay. There was obviously we were unlucky to go through to go out actually over the two legs. But I was actually thinking we played really well over the two legs combined. I think the most disappointing thing from a Scottish point of view for myself is that obviously we might now lose out on the automatic Champions League.
Yes.
So I was just going to say, you know, the rest of Scottish football needs to start stepping up. Because I'm pretty sure over the last 10 years, we're only like 8 places behind, and it's not good enough in the rest of Scottish football. They've not got to start stepping up as well. Like, obviously, it was a disappointment last night, but I think the future's really bright, especially under Clement, the way we've been playing.
Dale is correct. The coefficient picture is thus, Hugh Keevans, that Victoria Pilsen of the Czech Republic have gone through to face Fiorentina. If they so much as get one draw out of the two legs, the Czech Republic would skip above Scotland into 10th place in the coefficient table, which means that for the 25-6 season, we would lose the automatic place. So it's still there for this season's champions to automatically qualify at the start of next season, but thereafter, a bit of work to be done.
What happens if the teams do really well? Is that regardless next year then? Does that not?
Yeah, I think it's for that season.
So was this the following season?
I think the point that Dale is trying to make is that it's time for others to smarten up their ideas in Europe, and that's undeniably true. We make a song and dance about clubs qualifying for Europe, and then they're not terribly good when they get there. And of course, you know, Celtic's record in Europe is fairly awful. So Rangers can say that they've done their bit. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took them to a European final. Clement, from a bad start to the season for Rangers, took them to the last 16, and they did well against Benfica over both legs, and they could have put them out, but they were wasteful in front of goal last night. So the point that Dale makes is an accurate one.
Mm. Yeah, Dale, where does the disappointment sit? Is it that missed opportunity because you've seen how close you could get? I can't imagine it's as disappointing when you've got, you know, domestic football to focus on. You heard Philippe Clement there. He's saying it's not like they believe it's better to be out of Europe. I don't think that quite applies to him. But for others, it's just about focusing on the domestic stuff.
Yeah, of course. I think focusing on, you know, the Scottish Cup and the league, that's obviously the bread and butter, but it is a missed opportunity. I think if you look over the two legs, the two teams were very even, considering the budgetary differences between both sides as well. I would look at that and just say that it probably is a bit of a missed opportunity. But I think that's something we can obviously build on, considering where we were at the start of the year with Michael Beale in charge and, you know, how bad we were under him. I think the turnaround is even more evident with how well we've played in the last few European games under extra months.
There's nothing you can do about it, Dale, as you well know, but, you know, had Cortez been fit, had Sima been fit, you would have had greater confidence in Rangers getting the goals that would have taken them through. The composition of the team mirrored the fact that Rangers have a very lengthy injury list. Scott Wright, with the greatest respect, wouldn't have been in that team last night had Clement had a wider choice of player. But it's gone now, and you know, for Rangers to win a domestic treble, it would hardly come as a disappointing season for the fans.
Yeah, a lot of football to be played before then, of course. Simon, is that the I don't know, silver lining feels like the wrong phrase, but when you've got a domestic picture that's as competitive as it is,
yeah.
I mean, you come close, you know. Benfica come to Ibrox and win 5-0 last night, then yeah. We've maybe got a bit of rage on these phones and saying it was embarrassing or whatever, but pretty close, didn't quite go Rangers' way, and now other fish to fry.
Listen, and big fish to fry, as Hugh says, they're in the challenge for a potential treble, which, as Dale said, with Michael Beale in charge at the start of the season, would probably have seemed a million miles away. But Clement's came in and he's done a fantastic job there. So the disappointment will be there. Clement said it himself. Disappointment because you're looking at a last eight in a European competition, which would have been another fantastic hurdle to get across. They've not managed that. So they now need to dust themselves down. They've got a huge game on Sunday. And I think it's 9 games left for Rangers and Celtic. So they've got a title race to go and contend with. But that's what happens at clubs as successful as Rangers and Celtic. You know, there's always an important game round the corner, and you have to be ready for it.
The good thing is, Dale, there's a break just around the corner, not before Dundee though this weekend. Any concerns about tiredness or making sure that last night doesn't hang over onto the weekend?
I think there'll be a slight concern about tiredness. I think some of the players, especially in the second half, yesterday did look a bit tired. I thought he brought Matondo on, and I don't know, he was only on for a couple of minutes, and then he looked knackered, and he'd only been on a couple of minutes, so I don't know what was wrong with him, but a few of the players did look tired towards the end, so obviously that is a bit of an issue. But, you know, I've got to be confident because under Clement, it's been almost perfect, I would say, other than a couple of results here and there, and the rest of it's actually been not bad. So I can only be confident in what I've seen from the team.
This is the last weekend when the fans can mention this particular issue because, you know, it will be a factor at Dens Park. But thereafter, you've got the international break, and after that, no more European football. So you're on a level footing with everyone else in the league. But it does add intrigue to Dens Park on Sunday. You know, the Dundee coming off a good result against Aberdeen in midweek, and they have had proper recovery time. So it will add spice to Sunday.
Peter, and this is why I'm glad our listeners are here. Peter is right for accuracy purposes. Can you stop including Cortez in last night's injury list because he wasn't in the Euro squad?
Oh, I do beg
your pardon. It is a fair point.
It is.
Anyway, 01419511025, that was the number Dale dialed, and we thank him for doing so. But what did you make of it? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard so far? Now would be the ideal time to call, and we'll try our best to get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Simon Donnelly are here for your Friday night Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Looking back on Rangers' European exit last night, looking forward to what should be a bumper weekend of domestic football as well. So please give us a call and let us know what you're thinking about either of those. If there's something else entirely that you think we've missed and you want to get off your chest, this is the time and place to do that. 0141 951 1025, that's the number Dominic has dialed. How do you look back on last night then, Dominic?
Good evening, Gordon, Hugh and Simon. I think it's between the two teams. I'll say the producer, I don't think there was a lot over the two legs, Gordon, but mm-hmm. I think that for me it's good to obviously Rangers are flying the flag for the coefficient, because the other side across the city keep obviously at the wind up. But look at them being in Europe the last few years have been shocking. But my main point I was saying is I think that Dessers needs dropped, and I think that Goldson, I think that he needs to go as well, because I know he wasn't at fault for the goal last night, but it's telling that you can see he's not up to it anymore.
Like, there's an inevitability that when Rangers don't get a good result, Cyril Dessers will get part of the blame. That theme was set in motion a long time ago. However, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to point out that he probably, you know, didn't carry as much of a threat last night as Rangers would have liked.
You know, the linesman's flag did him a favour after an awful miss, and then he had a real good chance second half and he didn't take that either. So he was always getting the big slipper after that. But Dominic's done a me. Goldson, just not up to it anymore. So that's his career over and done with.
Deal with him in a second. I wanted to test the theory though, Dominic, about Dessers, because again, I'm not sure many would disagree. I don't think we're going to get loads phoning in saying he was brilliant last night. However, is this where the injuries do play a part? If there are no wingers and Fabio Silva has to play out wide and Kemar Roofe is not yet or very rarely fit enough to start, and Rangers didn't sign another striker in January, dropping him becomes a bit harder, doesn't it?
Totally take what you're saying, Gordon, but you see that Dessers, I know it come December, January, we all thought he was coming on a game, even Gordon Dale thought that, but it's, for me, Roofe, I know he's came on the bench for the last few games. It looks if he's fit when he comes on, you think that he would maybe be given a chance because he offers something different going forward. But I know that, but it's for where they get to, they'll be the last 16 and what Clermont's got available at the moment to him with all the injuries. I think he can't take it in a way that we competed with Benfica over the two legs.
Dessers has decent numbers in terms of domestic football. And there was a time when people seemed to be warming to him, but he stuck out last night simply because he had the bad misses.
Do you think it was that?
Did he get the required service?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're sitting here and he's missed five or six gilt-edged chances, the one in the first half he's offside, the one in the second half that you're referring to, I think it's a good bit of play by him and Wright. And he chops back in, which he's more than capable of doing. I think he's scored in Europe.
Is it the right decision to do that?
I think so. Yeah. I think he's sold the guy a dummy, came back in. Unfortunately, he's found it right in the middle of his body, so he's had to try and dig the shot out, and it's deflected for a corner. I don't think there's much more. People might argue he could have hit it first time, possibly, but I thought it was a good bit of play. I wouldn't say it was all down there.
I think he's lodged in the subconscious of fans like Dominic. Yeah,
possibly. I thought he turned a little corner at Rangers, but no.
That's not to say that
he certainly had, and I think it's 12 league goals, 16 in all competitions. There is nothing wrong with that. Oh. He's five without a goal at the moment, two of them against Benfica. So we've all, it has always been numbers versus eye test with him, hasn't it, since he came?
Of course, you can get too caught up with stats at times, but I think it's harsh to pin something on him for last night's performance. As you said there, does he get a lot of the service? Possibly not. When Benfica score, I think it takes the wind out Rangers' sails. I don't think there was any, when you're talking about that guy leaving with 25 minutes to go, but I don't remember thinking at any time, you know, Benfica looked quite comfortable for the last 25 minutes. I think the goal kind of knocked the stuffing out of Rangers.
All is forgiven, of course, if he scores against a team from across the road on the other side of the city near the Fords.
Exactly.
Dominic, let's talk Conor Goldson then, because he's the other one. I have seen a few grumbles recently, but again, was he all right last night, was he not?
He did play okay. I know he wasn't him at fault for the goal, but you look at the game over there and then the game against Motherwell, where he was. The list is endless. It's stupid wee mistakes that if there was somebody else in, you would like to, you know, that Liam Balogun, for example. But I don't think, I know that, but it's also maybe down to the partnership, because you see, John Souter, he's not a left centre back, do you know what I mean? For me, Ben Davies can be hitting a miss, but Balogun in there with Goldson, you can see that they've got a good partnership. But Goldson on the hold, I know he signed, obviously got that big bumper contract 2 years ago, but I think come the summer, I think it's time to move on, because you can see his time's come to a close, I think, at Ibrox.
John Souter seemed to be getting rave reviews last night. I always wonder when it's players like Goldson, Hugh, if, you know, how much they deserve criticism and how much it's like familiarity breeds contempt a bit, because they're always there and they always play, and when levels are generally pretty high, if it dips below that, well, I'm throwing all the cliches in, you know, careful what you wish for as well in terms of can you definitely upgrade that? So,
you know, I hold my hand up to being a sinner where this is concerned, but in this city you're either flawless or flawed, and it changes from game to game. And, you know, Dominic's talking about the Motherwell game, you know, a defeat, and the scattered gun comes out at that point. I have no doubt that Goldson's best days are possibly behind him, but it's a, you know, a bit early yet to be contemplating a summertime move.
Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement then on last night. Thank you to Dominic. Why don't you join him on 01419511025. He is convinced they'll be able to get over that disappointment quickly. He says everyone at the club is focused on the two domestic trophies they're still fighting for.
I think it was a close tie, but I'm proud of what my players showed. We played a better game than we played in Lisbon. Better game on the ball. But yeah, you need to be on your toes to compete with these kind of teams with a much bigger budget than you have. Everybody did that. So everybody raise their level towards the Lisbon game, and then you need to take the moments, and we didn't take enough our moments, and they took that moment. We made a wrong decision making. If Dio just runs with the attacker, nothing happens in that situation. But he's still a young player who plays for the first time at this level, and he played a really good game. I'm proud what I saw. I saw a team who was brave. I saw a team who wanted to take the domination of the game, and we need to leave this European competition behind us and to be really proud to be first in your Europa League group, and then to be in two games really competitive with a team as Benfica. I think the club can be proud about that.
Would that be the key, Simon? You know, having played and coached, you look at the goal, and Philippe Clement mentions Diomande. I don't think he's chucking him under the bus. It's not huge criticism, but everybody could see the part he played in it.
Yeah.
And when it's at that level of European competition, you get punished for those mistakes.
You do, and that's the difference over the two legs, because I don't think there was much else. You'd maybe say Benfica players technically, one or two of them a bit better, but I don't think there was a much difference in the two sides over the two legs. Interesting to see. Or to hear him there saying that he feels last night's performance was better. I think they did a lot more of the play last night. But to go and get two goals in their backyard last week, I thought going into the game, Rangers would have enough to see it over the line. But as you quite rightly say there, and it is the cliche in games, with no disrespect to who they're playing week in, week out, if your eye is off the ball for a split second, that can happen. you know, they can break. The warning signs were there in the first half a wee bit. As I said earlier, they didn't seem to have a lot of bodies back there when the transition and the counter attack had been featured.
It was
so a lot
high,
of space.
Wasn't it? We kept watching the back, thinking, is there a zoomed out image here where there's another player that we haven't
just
seen?
Just about to creep into the picture, I know. I was the same myself watching it. And you don't know if that's by design or by default, but ultimately, at that level, you get caught out. And the boy takes it really well.
Yeah, it's not often, Hugh, that we see many VAR offside calls, and the predicament is he in his own half or not?
I kind of knew at the time. I thought it was on. You know, sometimes when you just see it, I thought it was onside, and it proved to be.
Yeah, we don't see many of those, I have to say. Right, tweet us your thoughts if you'd rather do that. But of course, more fun on the phones. I think fun, is it? maybe doing a lot of heavy lifting, that word, sometimes. But give us a call on 01419511025, like Graham in the East End has. How do you feel about it now, Graham, looking back?
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Graham.
Good stuff, yeah. I'm gutted, to be fair. I was at the game last night, and I don't understand this negativity, especially the way kind of Hugh's been in the last couple of callers, and you know, Goldson needs to go. I mean, Goldson's probably one of the leaders that we've needed. He's been off, I'll agree, but he's not been injured, and this is my first point. The injuries have caught up in us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, come on, Gordon. The Scottish Cup final, I mean, we didn't look tired, but it was nine men never, didn't he? We got across the line, and then it's Thursday. We're playing Benfica. They're a Champions League team. Their business model is way ahead of ours. The money that they accumulate is way ahead of ours. And we were playing a Champions League team. And we get beat with a goal that was a penalty and a dodgy own goal. But my point is, I seen Rangers. This is my main point, and I don't know where the negativity is coming from. They look tired. They did look tired, but they gave everything last night. And sometimes you need the luck of the green. Sometimes you just need that. And we don't have another striker. Everybody's saying there's a Skew said it at the beginning. Who else were we going to play?
Mm-hmm.
Injuries, the young kids are not ready for that. He nearly scored. I don't know where the negativity's come from. This is my main part of the point. I'm proud. I was at the game. I'm proud. I was there. It was a great atmosphere once again. Thursday nights is the Rangers nights, as it's called. I just want to put that to the panel. The negativity needs to stop. We're injury prone once again, and the coefficient numbers speak for themselves. And I'm proud. I'm proud of my team in the Europa League playing a Champions League team. And unfortunately, just unfortunately, we didn't have the luck in the night.
Graham is definitely proud.
First of all, I didn't say Goldson should go. It was the caller on the line who said that he should go. And the negativity was being expressed by supporters.
I also don't, by the way, for what it's worth, feel like I'm seeing loads of real negativity.
No.
The odd sort of grumble, but nothing major.
No. I mean, the Rangers did very well over the two legs, and they've gone out by the narrowest of margins possible. And they have a domestic season that is potentially rich for them. And Clement has played his part getting Rangers to the last 16. There's absolutely no need for negativity. There is a right to acknowledge the length of the injury list, and also to acknowledge that Dessers was probably the only striker. Well, Roof is still finding his way back in. And incidentally, the nine men won the League Cup, not the Scottish Cup.
And I think he was talking about the Cup game last week against Hibs, Scottish Cup. That was my guess on it. I mean, Graeme, how confident are you this just becomes, you know, a easy bounce back at the weekend, no tiredness, and on to try and take care of the domestic trophies?
Well, that's you've touched on exactly what I was going to touch on next. I'm confident, and every Rangers fan should be confident. And I actually agree with Hugh said there. Sorry, Hugh, it was the caller, it wasn't you, so my apologies. But the positivity, it bounces off. To answer your first question, I absolutely think we will go, we'll change two or three key players, some fresh legs. And we'll go for it for the first 10, 15, 20 minutes. And we should be 1-2, maybe positively 3, if we can. That's how confident I am. for the rest of the league campaign, I think it's done. That's my next point to touch on briefly. I think it's done as a massive favour. Hugh touched on it, Simon touched on it. We're still in contention for a treble. This guy has done wonders. He's turned guys around who were only getting a game at goalie, play the goalie back in the day for Beale. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what he's done. I look at him and say, he's not a Walter Smith, but he's decisive in what he wants. He tells the players what he needs, and he's needing new players. We're needing a striker. Confidence. I don't know what you think, fellow Rangers. I'm confident. We've got some tricky ties in between. You just need to look at Motherwell. But that's again to do with our squad. So it's done as a massive favour. We don't have a squad for Europe. We don't have the money. We don't have the backup. But injuries, it's done as a favour, Gordon. So the treble's on. So bring it on. Honestly, seriously, bring it on.
Bring it on, says Graham. Oh, no, I think he's correct.
Clement is a special guy. He has given that impression as he got into the country, and he wants this treble, and he understands what it means to the supporters. This weekend will be intriguing because of the European game and the exertions of midweek, but after that, as I say, everyone's on a level footing.
Celtic fans, what are you thinking tonight? We are about to hear from Brendan Rodgers, so why not join in at that point in time? Feels like a good opportunity to do so. He is going to talk Cameron Carter-Vickers back this weekend. Callum McGregor not too far away. Rio Hatate closer. No Liam Scales this weekend. So what would you do in the heart of that defence? Give us all your thoughts whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One. Live. Celebrating the first 50 years.
Get that date in your diary. Even Hugh Keevans is going to be there. So even if music's not your thing, and I'm sure it will be, you can get a selfie with the man himself. But anyway, 31st of May, the Ovo Hydro. It's Clyde One Live to celebrate this radio station's 50th birthday. And we're joined by some very special guests. And I don't mean Hugh Keevans. Emily Sandy, Amy McDonald, Callum Beattie. They're all on the list, and many more acts to be announced over the coming weeks. But make sure you don't miss out. Get your tickets now. Head to Clyde1.com and hopefully see as many of you as possible at the Ovo Hydro on the 31st of May.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are waiting patiently for you to get involved, so don't let them down. I can't have that in my conscience. Give them a call or send them a tweet heading into a big weekend, looking back on Europe last night as well. It will be Celtic first up in terms of the title race. So let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Liam Scales missing tomorrow's match. Cameron Carter-Vickers back. The manager says his biggest frustration since returning to the club has been the injuries.
Throughout the team, but mainly in that sort of defensive sector, which is where your stability comes from. But it's such a shame. As he's had a great run. That's been the biggest frustration over the course of the season, having not been able to put out the, our strongest 11. But the players have given me everything until this point. You know, they've worked ever so hard, and like I say, we can still finish off the season in a really high moment. It's more the options. Having the options, it's felt like probably we haven't had the options for a lot of the season, but I commend the players because, like I said, the ones that have been available have given absolutely everything over the course of the competitions. So, but if we can get those players back, then that gives us great options. And obviously, like I say, these are top players that can make the real difference for us.
I think the obvious one is the return. Let's do positives first. Cameron Carter-Vickers. You watch Celtic more than most, Simon. Specifically, what difference does he make? We all accept he's a good player, but what does that look like?
Just an assuredness, and a strength, and a confidence to that back line at Celtic. He's played like a captain in the two seasons he's been there, and he's their best defender, putting it plainly. So when he's been out for such a period of time, and Brendan's alluded to there, having to shuffle it about at times, Scales has obviously stepped forward and did brilliantly this season. He's going to be out tomorrow. But I think just an assuredness. And I think, you know, we've listened to the Rangers fans calling in there. If you flip it, the Celtic injury problems, I think after this international break, if they can get a Carter-Vickers, a Callum McGregor, a Hatate, if they can get them back fit and playing at a level that they've performed at before, it will be a huge shot in the arm for Celtic.
So it's just been sort of inconsistent, Hugh. He's been back a couple of games, missed a couple of games. He's played 23, missed 16.
Yeah.
He's actually missed quite a lot of football, but not all at once, as we say. And it's never really seemed like it's got going for him this season. Could that be the... Would that be the one that, although, you know, of course, big focus on Hatate, and obviously, again, I think McGregor speaks for himself, but you just wonder, looking at, you know, two goals conceded against Livingston last week as an example.
Yeah. I mean, the performance last week was well below par, and I think Brendan Rodgers acknowledged as much, speaking about the lack of pace in Celtic's game and the players not playing at their maximum. St Johnstone, one of the peculiarities of Celtic season. There was a 0-0 draw at Celtic Park, which did nothing for anybody who was there. And then when they played in Perth, it was 1-1 at half-time, and Brendan Rodgers said it was the angriest he'd ever been in football management. This is a man who was three games away from winning the English Premier League, but the angriest he'd ever felt. Celtic came out second half, scored two fine goals, but they have to be careful with St Johnstone. At Celtic Park tomorrow, they really can't be dropping any more points to St Johnstone, and they have to up their game on what was evident against Livy last week.
Let's bring Brian in. Brian's a Celtic fan. What do you think tonight, Brian?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to say I've been listening to the show tonight, and I find it very childish that a chap couldn't say Celtic when I'll say, well done Rangers, hard lines. You know, at least you tried, you got to the position, and it's well done. So there, I'll say that. I'm a Celtic fan. The important thing I hear is about Celtic. Celtic are going to have players returning into a team which has been nothing short of fractious most of the season. Now, it's not been an enjoyable watch. I've seen 99% of the games. And if the comedy act of giving allocation was sorted out, I'd probably see 100%. But the product that we're seeing isn't rotten, as they say. But what we're doing is we're taking it from a perspective on a viewpoint to last year, when we won the treble. So you've got a lot of players there who have come into a team, and Brendan Rodgers' style has got to be adhered to, and they're a bit confused. And then you've lost really important players who seem to be returning. Now, if we can knit this together and play the kind of football that is capable, and I've used that word quite a few times, Hugh, and I wanted to speak to you quite quickly about your Govan oven statement, and I loved it. It was brilliant, because it'll stay till tonight, because Motherwell and now Benfica have made a wee bit of a roaster of that statement, if you know what I mean. So, I think Celtic, and this is, they're 2 points behind, and they're playing not great football. Not great football right now. But they're 2 points behind, and there's returning players who are intingent to being champions. And I'll come down to two words. Who has the bottle for the battle?
That's way more than two words, Brian.
Anyway, right. Bottle and battle are the two words that you're going for. But listen,
there's too many for me to even count. But I think Brian, understand what Brian's coming from, Hugh, because the... Well, first of all, you're here to get your predictions shot down. You called it the Govan oven, and yeah. Brian's pointing out that Motherwell and Benfica withstood the heat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Govan oven? Was that before the Motherwell game?
I like how Motherwell and Benfica now just go hand in hand in the same sentence.
It's just a wee phrase to lighten things up, Simon. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, the point about people who can't say Celtic or can't say Rangers, I have to take a bit of fun with that as well. The point about injuries, whether it's Rangers or Celtic, for me, it's redundant, because injuries happen in football. And I do understand that both clubs have lengthy injury lists. And I do understand that in Celtic's case, McGregor, absolutely inspirational for Celtic. Hatate, class act. Carter Vickers, dependable but unreliable when it comes to the state of his body this season. I do understand they're important. However, it is football. You have to go with the cards you've been dealt, and you have to rise above the injuries and whatever other problems. And that's why I highlighted that St Johnstone, tomorrow's opponents, Celtic drew 0-0 at Celtic Park. That's Celtic's fault for me. And when the manager can say it's the angriest he had felt ever in football when it was 1-1 in Perth, then quite simply, Celtic have to be better. Certainly better than they were against Livingston last Sunday. And they're playing a team who are in danger of being in the relegation playoff. I mean, Livy started last week in a Scottish Cup tie. They were 51 points behind Celtic in the league. And they were 2-2 at one point. Joe Hart has had to pull off a very good save to prevent that from going 3-2, Livy. So I'm afraid Celtic do have to lift their game. And Brendan Rodgers knows that better than anyone.
And we're back to the psychology of it, Simon. The last time we had a league fixture card was that rarest of weekends where both Rangers lose and then Celtic lose. So they missed a genuine chance to go top.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow's still a genuine chance to go top. But of course, what I mean is Rangers can then respond the very next day. But is that all it is? Win well, put whatever pressure there is onto Rangers, see how tired they are. And you know, and that's, it's going to be like that between now and the end of the season.
It is going to be like that. And that's what the last nine games are going to boil down to. That weekend that you referred to, I sat on the show and predicted Celtic and Rangers would both win. So it is going to take a few more twists and turns, but that's all Celtic can do tomorrow. Go and win, and hopefully win well, because I think they have to find some form.
You get two predictions wrong on the same day.
I did.
I'm pretty sure you would have made that same double prediction.
They have to find a wee bit of form, but I think that's what Brian's talking about there on the call, that, if they can get this game out the way tomorrow successfully, they have got players coming back. Carter Vickers should play tomorrow. I think if you can get a Hitati in for the last six, seven games, the semi-final and hopefully the final, from a Celtic point of view, he's like a new signing. If you can get him to the levels that he's performed at,
it's
getting him there.
It's time that Kyogo was number one again.
Yeah.
And Ida sat on the bench, because I think Kyogo looked in the mood when played against Libby.
Yeah, I would argue right through the middle that Carter Vickers, Callum McGregor, Hitati and Kyogo, if they come back fit and fine form that they've had, then, as I said, it's a huge shot for Celtic.
Thank you very much, Brian, which takes us up to this time on a Friday night. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Friday night, what's the record looking like from this week? I think it was it fairly straightforward?
I won on Tuesday.
Kenny Miller won in sensational fashion. 8-6 on Wednesday. So I don't think the week can be won by the listeners, but you can end. You can salvage something. A consolation, as they say. It reminded me of Liverpool last night when they were 4-0 up within 14 minutes. Then Sparta Prague scored, and the guy had the cheek to run and grab the ball as if, come on, this could be it. The comeback could be on. Yeah. That's kind of like what the listeners face tonight, because it's 4-0 to the pundits this week, but you can end the week on a high. So 0141 951 1025, and you have to call us to play Beat the Pundit before 7 o'clock. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And Simon Donnelly are here on 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, we would be delighted to have you. So please give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. Maybe it's last night's game at Ibrox where it went wrong for you Rangers fans, or how you look back more generally on the European campaign, going out, the injuries, the tiredness. You take it on the chin and just sort of move on. I don't detect much real disappointment or any real negativity out there. But if you're feeling a bit grumpier, we're more than happy to hear that as well. Celtic fans, just before the news, we heard from Brendan Rodgers talking about injury updates. Carter Vickers back, Hitati soon, McGregor after the international break, and so on. So get the calls over on that front. Big games this weekend, Motherwell Aberdeen, there's championship action tonight, so no shortage of talking points for you. But let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Sean is on the line. How are you, Sean?
Hi, not bad, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Not bad. The great thing is you're from Fife, am I right?
Aye.
Right, well, Hugh's got the caravan up there, so if you win the sign ball, I'll just get him to drop it off on his way up next time. That work out for you? Good, good man, Sean. Right, let's toss the coin and find out who you will play. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it will be Simon Donnelly. Aye, he's not going to work because it's Simon. It's tails. Need to meet up in Fife another
time. That's a shame because I pay Fife community tax.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Good on you, contributing to the local economy. But it's tails. It's Simon against Sean. So what we'll do is give Simon some greatest hits radio, and that way he can't hear your attempt, Sean. So you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to just pass and move on to the next one, that is absolutely allowed, okay?
Aye, no worries.
Good man, your 30 seconds is on the clock right now, and your time starts now. What country are currently below Scotland in the UEFA club coefficient?
Czech Republic.
How many points separate Dundee United and Raith Rovers in the Championship?
One.
Who were Celtic's last opponents in the Champions League this season? Who's the current kit manufacturer for the Scotland men's and women's teams?
Adidas.
Theo Bayer has been called up to play for which country?
Pass.
What club did Gordon Dalziel join after Man City?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Simon Donnelly, can you hear us? The king of the ugly win, they're still calling you out there.
A win's a win, Gordon.
You're actually fourth in the pundits table. Yeah.
Doing all right.
Which I call best of the rest, because the top three are just too Kenny, smart. Roger, Andy Halliday, and Kenny. Just, you know, like, best
I'll
of the rest.
I'll take that.
Unless you mess this up tonight. You've got 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which country is currently below Scotland in the UEFA club coefficient table?
Pass.
How many points separate Dundee United and Raith Rovers in the Championship?
Two.
Who were Celtic's last opponents in the Champions League?
Atletico Madrid.
Who are the current kit manufacturer for Scotland men's and women's teams?
Adidas.
Theo Bayer has been called up to play for which country?
Oh, pass.
What club did Gordon Dalziel join after Man City?
Raith Rovers.
How many English men's sides are still left in the Champions League?
Two.
Okay, okay. Have you done it, Sean? Have you done it?
Hopefully.
See that wee glint in there. Almost ask if you could hear the glint in his eye there. It's not really the way it works, is it? I'm disappointed in you, because knowledge is one thing, but listening to me when I'm here on the show, proving that you don't do that, which is fine, none taken.
What did you mention?
Czech Republic.
11th, we're 10th. But Scotland need Fiorentina to beat Victoria Pilsen over both legs to stay 10th. Sean knew it. Sean listens. More likely Sean's just got the knowledge. Sean also knew that there's only one point between Dundee United and Raith. Mr. Ugly Win is not looking so good for you. And it only got worse.
Oh.
Feyenoord were Celtic's last opponents. Remember the 2-1 win mid-December. Sean is flying. 3-0 Sean. And Sean also, no let up you got on the board, but no let up from Sean. Adidas, you having the new strips for the Euros?
Jury's out.
It's not been a great reaction, I don't think.
I heard the caller last night who really wasn't having it.
Was he bogging, howling?
Yeah.
Looked like a bus seat, he said. So you're just somewhere in the middle?
It's like, I think it was like the Celtic kit. I have to see it
in person.
Yes.
I don't mind it as much as everyone else. I think it's wearable.
You'll need to get it for me in your phone next commercial
break. It's not being met with a lot of love. I'll do better than that right now, Hugh Keevans. We'll get you the.
Because I'll end up having the granny will end up buying lots of these.
It's got a bit of yellow in it.
Yeah. Here you are, Hugh Keevans. You can.
In fact, they're coming.
Shuffle over.
The Brighton and Hove Albion lot are coming up in a fortnight, so.
Those are your options. They're home, as modelled by Scott McTominay. Oh, he's frowning. Away, as modelled by Ryan Jack. Oh, he's not happy.
No. I need to go to. The Brighton and Hove Albion lot, because they are the fashion experts when it comes to football.
So you just buy them. See, when you looked on my screen, did you see the price?
That's what I was about to say. How many kits have you got to buy?
There's six.
Shuffle yourself back over because I want your reaction to this. Bring your mic with you. Just till we get live reaction to that. I know how you feel about looking after the pennies.
Oh dear. Simon.
Another few shows.
It begins with a seven, put it that way.
Another few shows for Hugh.
Six grandkids. That's 450 quid.
Ridiculous. Anyway, we got distracted. None of you knew. This was the most important question of the night. Theo Bayer has been called up by Canada. First time since 2020. Sean proved that he wasn't a complete no at all, because none of you got that Gordon Dalziel. Which fan base has he got a really special bond with? Partick Thistle.
Partick.
He went from Man City to Partick Thistle.
Yeah, that's where Haaland will end up next as well, I'm sure. And that was the end of Sean's questions, but he was didn't need it. He's got his feet up. Cigar out. He's not bothered. Simon did get that there are two men's sides from England left in the Champions League, Arsenal and Man City, but it was a 4-2 win for Sean.
Well done, Sean.
You must be delighted with that, Sean. Easy.
Aye, it's good.
Listen, it's water off a duck's back to Sean. He's too composed. What about your team this weekend? You're a Celtic fan, Sean. Surely not another home game against. Surely not two home games against St Johnstone in one season where points are dropped.
I doubt it, right? But you never know, especially when Scales is injured as well.
Are you feeling optimistic about the end of the season? I feel like I hear a wide range of opinions from Celtic fans on that at the moment. How do you feel about things?
Easy. Definitely win the league.
Easy and definite. Well, listen, as a man who came on and swept all before him on Beat the Pundit, I think we have to respect his optimism. But anyway, thanks to Sean on the line. Don't worry, Hugh, I've just double checked as well, and all the grandkids, because I know they listen. If you want the strip with the Euro badges on it, just add, it's just a tenner. So it's 85 quid for that version.
And what about the names? The names on the back?
Oh, you need to add the names on the back. Let's throw in the shirts and socks. It's about 400 quid each, I think.
One of them's got two of them will get a hyphenated surname.
That's a nightmare. Just need to pick one. Just pick their favourite. Do they still charge by the letter though? I'm a bit out of touch with these things. Is it still like that? Is it still as simple as that? Or, I think it is. They changed the system.
When is this?
They get nicknames.
Any shirt printing experts want to tell us, do they still charge by the letter?
Is when is it going on sale?
I think it's on sale now.
Well, they're coming up from Brighton. Fortnite. This is bunter.
It's the first time.
Spoiled it for you here.
It's not the first time we've been to the Euros, but the last one, you know, it was half shut down and all that sort of stuff, and it was all spread across the place.
What happened to the kit? See the kit that came out for the, was it the England game?
Well, that was all it was. It was the 150th commemorative
traditional. That was the one we should have had.
What if I told them that yes, it's the new Scotland kit, but it can't be sold to people who live in England?
I think for you, six grandkids, home and away. 150 each.
Names on the back.
Times six. Names in the back.
The badge.
And the badges. I think a man of your means can handle that.
Well, as I say, it's out of my hands. The granny dictates policy. So that's that. Any extra shifts going? Big Marvin loses tomorrow.
Expensive.
This is the way it works, because Jack and I couldn't possibly condone this sort of thing. I don't know contractually how I'm fixed for these types of recommendations. Jack reckons he knows somewhere he can get them a tenner a pop. I am not going there, Jack, I'm afraid. Anyway, 0141 951,
get his number,
1025. Most of you will know the website anyway, I suspect. I've heard about these things. Anyway, put it this way, there was a surprising number of people I knew managed to get their hands on that commemorative one, considering apparently there were so few.
I know where you're going.
Available. Anyway, let's go a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. Just he was talking generally about, you know, the squad and different personnel issues. There has been reports about Daniel Kelly potentially, you know, new contract. And the Celtic manager says he was criticised for substituting Daniel Kelly whilst losing at Hearts. He doesn't see why it's viewed negatively. He says developing youth is one of his key tasks.
My focus is always first and foremost on the young players. I think it's one of the things I said when I've come into the club in terms of the overall vision is obviously to win titles, to play attacking football, and that's the demand for Celtic. And obviously, but to do it with as many of the young players from our academy that we possibly can. Now, that's very difficult to get 9 and 10 players, but certainly this club has consistently had lots of really young players. And then you're trying to balance that between this mentality to win every single game. I read somewhere the other week where actually been criticised for bringing a young player into the team, which I found incredible. Putting Daniel Kelly on against Hearts was supposedly not what should have been done. But thankfully, I look after the short and the longer term of the club, and this is bringing young players in to develop, to improve, give them that experience, and then hopefully to become better players. So, because they need to get that experience. So hopefully we can do that in the coming years, get those players in to come in and support the team, eventually become first team players, and it's something that I'll always focus on.
I read somewhere that was being criticised, and I thought, is Brendan Rodgers out there on, is he on Twitter? Where's he reading this stuff? And the only thing I can find, and it might not be this, but I'd have to imagine it's a fairly, I think Chris Sutton's column Said Rangers sent on youngster Daniel Kelly. No harm to the lad, he could be the future, but it was no environment for an 18-year-old now. It would be wrong of us to get in between Brendan Rodgers and Chris Sutton. But as a more general point, Hugh, can you be damned if you do, damned if you don't when you're trying to blood youngsters? No,
because Celtic, like Rangers, devote an awful lot of money to the academies every season. And if people criticise the academy for not producing players at a sufficient rate, then they cannot criticise when Brendan Rodgers brings in Daniel Kelly, puts him on. His goal against Dundee was one of the best goals this season. The Hearts day was just a disaster from start to finish for Celtic. And at the same time, you can't criticise Brendan Rodgers for seeing what Daniel Kelly could bring to that particular occasion. And they're trying to extend his contract now. And I fully expect to see him on the park at some stage tomorrow against St Johnston. So Brendan Rodgers is right to defend himself in that particular instance.
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, speaking as a person who came through as a youngster myself, you know, I get the importance of that at the clubs like Celtic and Rangers. And I was at the game that he scored the fantastic goal against Dundee. And, you know, there's a sense of pride there with the Celtic supporters and the club as well when a youngster comes through the ranks. I think Daniel's been there for since he was 7 or 8, possibly. You know, he's come right through, and it's a good positive story. And in reference to that game, I think the game was already gone before Daniel came on the pitch. But, you know, Brendan's working with the kid day in, day out. He's been round about the squad, so he must deem him good enough, you know, regardless of his age, regardless of the arena. You know, at that age, I love getting put on. You know, I played at Ibrox, the game there was no fans at 19, but it's the youthful exuberance you want to play, and I don't think Daniel will be any different. He's acquitted himself.
What type of player do you see in him?
Well, I think he's a decent passer. He finished that one with his right foot, which is a weaker foot. I haven't seen a great deal of the lad, but as I say, Brendan's working with him day in, day out. He's playing in a position there where when everybody's fit, it's arguably a strong midfield that he's got to try and battle into, but he's round about it, and you've seen the response of the senior pros when he scored against Dundee. It's something that's hugely important. Yeah. And as you says there, what's the point of youth if you can't bring players in and you can't bring them through? And I think it's a great story.
You'd also like to see more game time for Rocco Vatta.
Yeah.
Who excites the crowd, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that there for now. Good time to get your calls in, actually, because if you give us a call right now, there's a perfectly good chance we'll get you on after the break. So 01419511025. Just another quick heads up, if you fancy winning a smart TV and a football kit, that could be you, Hugh Keevans, because you know you're going to be investing in these football kits. Go to Clyde1.com, and it's all thanks to MetaBetting, who have supported our European coverage this season. The home of sports betting, 18+. Be gamble aware, stay in control, and please bet responsibly.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here on 0141 951 1025. So keep the calls coming. If you've got any other thoughts on the games we've not mentioned yet ahead of tomorrow, get them in. I'm really, apart from the obvious reasons, looking forward to Motherwell Aberdeen. That's a cracker, and big games all across the country. When you look at the calendar, it tells you how close we are to the end of that season. So lots to play for. Before we get back to the phones, let's give the guys this question.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Big thank you to Ryan, who's listening 11,000 miles away in Malaysia.
Wow.
See, you two, worldwide superstars, honestly. Malaysia, have you ever been there?
No.
You're quite well travelled, though. You're telling us you're here, there, and everywhere. What's the furthest you've been? You've been to Australia?
No.
No, you've not?
Okay. No. States, briefly.
The furthest you've been, Anstruther?
South Korea, probably.
Oh, right. Okay. The World Cup.
Opening ceremony of the World Cup, and then flew after the opening ceremony. The following day, I flew to Tokyo.
What was the first game?
I think it was France.
Yeah, France, Senegal. France.
Yeah.
Senegal beat them, didn't they?
That's right.
Big shock at the time.
That's right.
And I travelled back with a well-known author who was staying in Tokyo beside me, and we Bill Bryson. You ever heard of Bill
Bryson? Yeah, Bill Bryson, yeah.
Met him in South Korea. He was at the game and we flew back and he asked me where I was staying and it turned out we're in the same hotel. So...
Do you ever wonder if he based any of his characters on you?
Well, you know, he was a fantastic company, let me tell you. Fantastic. Great guy.
Mr. Worldwide Keevan's here. Anyway, the question from Ryan tonight is quite straightforward. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ban you from looking at any league tables or anything. I just think it makes it a wee bit easier. I think it's an easy question anyway, but just let's try and do it all off the top of your head. Who are the eight managers currently managing in the SPFL whose surnames begin with Mick? Simple as that. So the eight managers currently in the SPFL, across the entire SPFL, whose surnames begin with Mick. Why do you look so confused, Simon Donnelly?
Eight.
Yes.
And the surname is Mick.
Begins with Mick, yeah. Like Mick Donald or whatever. Oh dear, I thought you'd at least get some.
James McPake.
Yes, James McPake in action tonight. See that nice transition? Yep. Dunfermline, Dundee United. I'm glad I've banned you from looking at the league table. I think that's what makes this a little bit harder.
Mick.
Okay, I can leave it with you if you require more thinking time at the
moment. Jim McIntyre.
Yes, of our broth. Okay, let's leave that there. Six to get, two down. And as always, thanks to all of you who send the questions in. If you'd like to get on board with that and hear your question used in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com.
You need to let me say this.
Oh, go on then.
You'll never forgive me.
Yes, another
Ian
one.
Ian McCall.
Okay, we'll get the rest, hopefully, between now and the end of the show. Speaking of Ian, we've got another one on the line in the city centre. How are you, Ian?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, it was just about the game last night. And I know people had been phoning up and saying they weren't that fussed if Rangers went out, and some of them would prefer if Rangers kind of went out and concentrated on the league. When I was at the game last night, and I really thought that was a kind of, it was a kind of thing that, it was a strange atmosphere. I think there was an acceptance that if Rangers went out, then people could live with it. I've been to ones before where big European nights and we've not played so well, we've got beat and everybody's moaning and groaning and turning the air blue, but it wasn't like that last night. I mean, even during the game, I think there was a lot of that about that they weren't that fussed. I think a lot of them just think that the league is the main thing to go for, and they're absolutely no devastated about it. I know that the manager is far removed for the kind of thoughts, but and I thought Rangers kind of looked a bit tired last night. I really did. I thought they looked a bit second to every ball, and I thought it was sending too many, the same players to the well too many times, and I thought if we went through last night, I thought it might have caught up to us if we get any more injuries.
I think there's a classic clash of emotions here. The last time Rangers won the title under Steven Gerrard, we were all living with a global pandemic and people couldn't go to football matches. Therefore, although the title win is always a great thing for any club, there were no people there to see it. And also, that was one of only 12 that Rangers have won. So the clash of emotions comes when people say, yep, we're out, and I can't feel too devastated about it because what I really want is the league title. And you can't blame people for feeling that way. And Rangers did well over the two legs. You know, as Gordon said earlier, if Rangers had lost 5-0, then you might have cause for complaint. But the clash of emotions dictates that some people think Europe is expendable. The league title is not.
I think it felt like an atmosphere, Ian, that people felt like it was a bit of a bonus last night. Is that what you're telling us the atmosphere was like?
Yeah, I think it was one of the ones where if we went through, good and well, but if we didn't, then they honestly weren't that fussed about it. I think a lot of people kind of had the same mindset. I mean, enjoy the game. If you win, you win. If you don't, it's not the worst thing in the world that could happen. I mean, I think if I don't think I would be saying this if we didn't have as many injuries. If we had a full squad of players to pick from, I would have been really disappointed about getting out last night. And I still don't think Rangers would have got to the final. There's some really good clubs in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really weird. The atmosphere was weird. I mean, everybody, we appreciate the effort, and everybody stood up at the end and clapped him off the park, and then just kind of went about their business. There was no moaning and groaning about it. Or what kind of, like you hear people kind of digesting the game after it and picking up on faults and complaints and who played and who didn't and what did they do this for. There was absolutely nothing at all. I never heard anybody.
Yeah, Ian mentioned, you know, it would have been hard to go the full way. Liverpool, Atalanta, Benfica, Marseille, Milan, Roma, all Italian clash. And Bayer Leverkusen, West Ham was the draw, just if you're interested. So it doesn't really necessarily work this way, but in theory it's Marseille is what you could have won. Rangers fans, Ian, you said that something about players going to the well maybe just once too often. Who in particular do you think is suffering from that just now?
I think even though John Lundstrom has been outstanding, I thought he was good last night, but I thought there was a few of them a yard short. I mean, Dessers always, and I'm not being, I like Dessers, that I do, and I know he misses chances, but he never stops trying. And I like that about him, but I thought he was even a little bit off colour. And I think the defenders as well. I think Goldson, I heard somebody mentioning him like a few calls ago. And I think Goldson has lost a little bit of his pace over the last couple of seasons and a bit of his focus. I think he, him as well. But there was a few of them just as a collective. They looked a little bit leggy. I missed the first 10 minutes because there was an issue getting in, but when I sat down and I took in the next 10, 15 minutes, I really thought they were a bit tired, you know?
Yeah, well, do you know what? You mentioned Conor Goldson. Let's hear from his defensive partner, John Souter. I feel like he did get a lot of praise last night. He's back in that Scotland squad at a crucial time. He says it was a missed opportunity after a 50-50 match.
It's fresh, so the boys are gutted. I thought we played well, especially on the ball. I thought we'd done well, and another night we could have came out with it, but the goals win games, and unfortunately they've taken their chances, we didn't. Yeah, it wasn't their top side, and we can't forget that. So I'm sure when we look back tomorrow and in the coming days, it'll feel a bit better, but just now it's raw and it's fresh, so the boys are gutted, as you can imagine. Yeah, of course there's loads of positives at the club just now, but as the manager's said before, he wants to win every game. It's not a case of, all we've done well, we took part against Benfica. The boys are devastated in there, and we want to go the whole way in this competition as well as the other ones.
To make it a bit more general, Simon, a good performance from him last night. And we spoke about this pre-match where it's all right fans saying, well, don't mind if we go out. That's the wrong phrase, but you know, won't lose sleep over it sort of thing. Yeah. For players like that testing themselves at that level, he has been named in the Scotland squad. Everyone's looking at the Euros saying who's going to be in, who's going to be out. I think that's an area that there are a lot of options. Look at the number of centre-backs that were named in the squads.
Gordon, I watched the game last night, and I was actually, obviously worked with Sopi at Dundee United when he was a youngster. And I said before he went to Rangers, I thought he would handle the situation really well. He's had a couple of injuries, but he's now, I think, shown a consistency there. And I was watching the game last night, and I actually think he could play his way into the Scotland team for the Euros if he keeps his form up. I really do. I think he's playing really well. He's very composed at the back there. He's playing, as I think the last caller said, he's playing on the left-hand side of that defence. And he's doing it really well. And I just watched the game last night, and I had the Scotland hat on, and I'm thinking if he keeps playing the way he is, he could play his way right into the starting 11. I'm sure he'll feature in these games coming up.
Thanks again to Ian. What about John then in Cumbernauld? What have you got on your mind tonight, John?
I'm just a wee bit disappointed after that result. Comes down to them playing again. Like, Deathers is one of the guys. I want to like him, but he just makes it impossible some of the time. I honestly think if any of the other strikers were fit, he wouldn't be getting a game. Deathers, I want to see him come to fruition, I really do, but it's just clear that he's not the answer to Rangers' problems now.
Previous caller there, though, was giving him a bit of praise, saying he still worked hard and likes that about him. Is that not doing it for you?
I think I like what he does, but the end product is just not there. He's no he's no scoring the goals that Rangers need. That's the thing. The new, if you want a striker's got to score you 20 to 25 goals a season. Dessers is not scoring that amount of goals. He's just no. I like him as a guy. As a striker, he's not the answer going forward. We need somebody else in the summer, at least one or two probably, because Roof's away as well in the summer.
Then we said it earlier though, Hugh, I don't think the goals total is terrible, but it's maybe it's more that, you know, just what you see with your eyes sometimes is not doing it clearly for John.
Yeah, Dessers, not just in John's estimation, but in the estimation of many people, is the go-to guy for grief. You know, if it happens, it's Dessers' fault. And, you know, I think he could have done better with the chance in the second half last night. And, you know, the linesman's flag, yes, it's offside, but even the execution wasn't good enough. But Rangers have a problem in that area because of injury. And it's not as if he'd been played there in preference to somebody else. He's been played there at the moment because there is nobody else.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes in this city, Simon, if all goals are not created equally. You know, Dessers has got, he's 16 in all competitions, might end up with a decent tally. On the other side, Kyogo's not scoring as many as people thought he might. He's got those two really important goals against Rangers. Now, we don't know where the title's going to go. If it does go to Celtic, you'll look back on them and say, you know, how crucial those moments were. And similarly, if in, what is it, a couple of weeks' time, Cyril Dessers scores the winner,
a lot of this
will be forgotten.
Yeah, he'll be the hero. And listen, I think he's been a wee bit of the scapegoat when he first came into the club. And I think he's self-admitted that, you know, coming to a club like Rangers, it took him a little bit of time to find his feet. I wouldn't say he's flying, but 16 goals isn't too bad. As I say, I go back to last night. I think the option to cut back in was possibly correct. You know, he's did that three or four times. He likes to kind of sell a dummy inside the box. Ultimately, he's judged on his goals. I think, like Hugh, that because of injuries, he's playing more possibly than he would. But I think he's did okay. And as you say, if he pops up in these next two games against Celtic, he'll be a hero for Rangers.
And flip side, if he doesn't and he misses chances in that game, these phone lines will be red hot. Let's squeeze one more in, Hugh, sorry, right, if you don't mind, before the break. Yvonne is on the line. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm very good, yourself?
Not bad. I believe you've got someone at the other end of the Rangers pitch on your mind.
Yeah, Jack Butland. I was obviously looking keenly to see the England squad been announced, and I'm disappointed he's not in the squad, simply because he's been magnificent for Rangers. And I think there's probably only one pick from the keepers that they've chosen above him, and that would be Jordan Pickford. So I just want to know how the panel feel about that.
I've never known so much interest in an England player.
Yeah, someone somewhere, Hugh, must have been giving off major noises that he was going to be in it. You know the media industry.
Yeah,
it's been doing the rounds for a few weeks. I was quite surprised when it came out and he wasn't in it. For that basis, Vaughan's surprise is more on his form. You look at Sam Johnson, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsdale
not getting a game.
Yeah, I would like to pose the question directly to Gareth Southgate and get his explanation, because you're tempted to say, does Gareth Southgate simply cover his eyes when he thinks about Scottish football, of no interest to him? But Butland, it's not as if Butland's some unknown. You know, he's been at clubs like Manchester United. They must be on the radar. But for whatever reason, Gareth Southgate ignored all of that. And there's only one man who can give an answer that we could then respond to, and that is Southgate.
I think also, look, even if you are that way inclined and you don't pay much attention, he has been playing in Europe and did well, and particularly well in that first leg. So, like, obviously, Gareth Southgate's decision, I don't, you know, he's got his own opinion on it. But the European performances, I think, has been
one of Rangers' best signings, if not the best this season. I have to call me a cynic. It's the league we're playing, and that's not the right way to look at it. But I think that's, as you say, I've watched Rangers in Europe and he's been excellent. But I think south of the border looked down their nose big time at the league. I think that can be the only reason.
Is that a worry of honour? You know, would it have been nice not only for Jack Butland but to almost sort of prove that if there are any other goalkeepers or maybe players a bit different for that matter, that you know, you can get that recognition playing up here?
Yeah, it's a fear I've got that some of the best, you know, it, for me, is the second best England goalkeeper now, and just Jordan Pickford above him, as I said, and it seems that because he's up here, he's not been picked. But one other point I wanted to make is how well he handled it in the press last night after the Rangers game. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't look disappointed. He just, you know, matter of fact, I wasn't picked. I'm here to do a job and carry on. So for me, he should be really commended for that.
I'm glad you brought that point up, Yvonne, because I said to Gordon Duncan before we came in here,
you did,
when he was sitting having his chocolates, that the many a player I've known would never have appeared in front of the cameras after the double whammy. The double whammy being not being in the England squad and going out of Europe. But he fronted up and he was very composed. So, yes, you're quite right to highlight that fact.
Yeah, now I was going to play you some Philippe Clement, but actually really a lot more pushed for time than I thought we were. The gist of his take on it was that even being in the conversation shows that Jack Butland's in a good place, and you never know, maybe future squads down the line. But thanks very much to Yvonne, a good point well made. But it is that time of the night already.
Oh,
this is new to you, Simon Donnelly.
No, completely.
You've not been on this week. You've actually not been on this week either.
No, I was on Tuesday.
Oh, so you were. So you were. I knew you had taken part. Well, Clyde One is once again the official radio station of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival.
All right.
And all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've been giving tickets away to some of the shows. Not only that, we're going to throw in your dinner as well. So this evening, it's going to be tickets for Reginald D. Hunter at the O2 Academy on Friday the 29th. With dinner for two and drinks at Nona Said. And it's so easy to win this, because all you need to do is be on the same terrible level of humour as our pundits and our producers in here. So what you have to do is give us the punchline to this joke, and Hugh Keevans, I'll get you to deliver it tonight, okay? So all you have to do is get ready, stand by your phone, and give us the punchline to this joke as told by Hugh Keevans.
Why couldn't the car play football?
Honestly, I dread to think the punchline. I think I can envisage it already. Why couldn't the car play football? 01419511025. Call before the end of this break and you could be off to see Reginald D. Hunter and your dinner on us as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been a very quick show. We're on the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevan, Simon Donnelly are here, and really looking forward to tomorrow's action. We've got championship action tonight as well, and let's give away a prize. Yes, we are once again the official radio station of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. So we're giving away tickets to some of the shows this week and throwing in dinner as well. Tonight it's two tickets for Reginald D. Hunter at the O2 Academy on Friday the 29th, and dinner and drinks at Nona Said as well. So it was pretty straightforward to get involved. All you had to do was provide the punchline to a joke that Hugh Keevans told you before the break. Can I just say thank you so much? The phone lines still absolutely lighting up here in front of me. Thank you for trying to take part, but if you're hanging on the phone just now, give it a miss. I think we're going to do it again tomorrow, but the lines are now closed, so I don't want to waste any more of your time. But thanks for your attention. So let's bring in who was first through. I think we've got James in Blantyre. James, Hugh Keevans is going to deliver the line. You try and tell me the punchline. Go on, Hugh.
Why couldn't the car play football?
James?
Because it keeps bumping into things.
No, that's rubbish. Even by our standards, that's not going to cut it. Let's go to Darren in Cumbernauld. Darren, Hugh Keevans, deliver the line.
Why couldn't the car play football, Darren?
Because it's only got one boot.
Yes, oh! It's only got one boot. Sensational comedy on offer.
I hope Reginald's jokes are better.
Oh, Reginald, we are so sorry. But anyway, Darren, well done. You're off to see Reginald D. Hunter.
Yeah.
And dinner and drinks at Nona Said as well. Happy with that?
Yeah,
That's magic, Gordon, thank you.
Brilliant, thank you for taking part, Darren. Enjoy the night on us.
I like Reginald D. Hunter.
Do you? You're a fan?
Yeah, big, smooth guy.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I'm sure it'll be a good show. Darren's off there as well, and I think we are. Someone better tell me that I've got this wrong for false advertising purposes. Now, I'm pretty certain we're going to give more away tomorrow on Saturday's show as well. So thanks again to Darren. Thanks for taking part. And thank you for whoever writes these tremendous jokes that we've had to read out every night this week. What about that teaser I gave you earlier and let it bubble away? Thanks to Universal Interiors, East Kilbride, for helping us out as always. Make sure you go and check them out. We're looking for 8 managers currently managing in the SPFL whose surnames start with Mick.
Derek McInnes.
Yes, an easier one that you hadn't got. Well done.
Rhys McCabe at
Airdrie. Well done.
And John McGlynn at Falkirk.
Flying. You and John McGlynn's Falkirk. How far away are they from winning the league now? It can't be far.
Must be very close.
Is it going to be a race between them and Stenny, is it, to see who's first?
Playing Big Marv's team tomorrow.
Yes, so they are. I'm sure he's delighted.
Is that on
that.
Telly? Is it on telly?
I'm
not sure. Tough run of form. Tough run of form is Marvin's mob, so we'll see what happens there tomorrow. Championship game tonight as well, as we mentioned. Dunfermline Dundee United, only one point yes. in the title race, yes. as you heard on Beat the Pundit. So
yeah,
that's going to heat up nicely, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might. I was speaking to Hugh earlier on about it. I think it might be a wee tricky one at East End Park tonight, though. I don't think it'll be straightforward for them.
Friday night, East End Park, be lively, great crowd, but. Dunfermline's season has been a disappointment. I think people thought they'd be much higher in the league table than they are. But Dundee United have their moments, you know, when they think, how did they manage to lose that?
Greenwich House 5:30, so.
Yeah,
Friday night football's been great for the Championship, hasn't it? Hopefully another exciting night. Right, let's turn attentions fully to tomorrow then. We did say there's a real feel of a good game because of the storylines attached as well. Yep. Motherwell and Aberdeen at Fir Park.
Aberdeen, it's crisis time now. I mean, if they lose tomorrow, it's 12 league games in a row without a win, which equals a club record. They are currently managerless. The players do not dispute that the crowd were right midweek to sing "You're not fit to wear the shirt." They would rather be places other than Motherwell, I suspect.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Motherwell could offer them...
Right. I thought you were casting aspersions.
No. I go back to that Motherwell Rangers and the win that Motherwell had there. I think if Aberdeen lose tomorrow, we really are in crisis time, and the managerial appointment had better be the right one and had better be a quick one.
Well, it's not going to be that quick.
No.
Because we're a week on. I mean, last Saturday we were on the show, of course, when the news broke. I think there was a bit of confusion because you were saying, why is Peter Leaven's name brought into this? If, you know, is Neil Warnock only leaving because an appointment's imminent? That's what he said.
That's what he suggested.
The statement said at an advanced stage, and that simply wasn't correct because they haven't even... they hadn't even conducted an interview.
So Peter Leaven will take charge for the third time, but the second time in this interim spell tomorrow. And yeah, Aberdeen then issued one, didn't they, at the start of the week, saying maybe during the international
But
break.
Tomorrow, if they, you know, Ross County are playing Hearts, for example. Now, Hearts are going very well. But if Ross County can get something from Hearts and Dingwall, then all of a sudden, if Aberdeen lose at Motherwell, they are in crisis.
Yeah, and Motherwell's recent form... Simon, the standout's obviously Ibrox. I mean, to go there and win. Ran Celtic pretty close.
Very close,
In the home game prior to that. So, you know, Theo Bear's confident. But you do just wonder. You keep going back to it where you think, and it's not true because the league table doesn't lie, but you still come back to, surely Aberdeen have got enough good players that at some point they're going to dig something out.
I can't work it out. I keep saying, even the European exploits earlier on this season, the players on paper, they should be higher up, but ultimately they're not. Warnock's came in, he's finished on a high, beating Kilmarnock, and then announced, I'm off again, and suggested that something was imminent. Then they get beat off Dundee during the week, and I don't see them getting much tomorrow at the game.
He's still hanging about, I think. I'm sure.
What?
Is
he?
I'm sure he was at someone. Now, let's make sure I've got this right. I think he was at Capello for a schoolboys game on Wednesday night. Scotland not play Wales. Somebody told me they saw him, right? Well, I'm sorry if I've got this wrong.
He's got the place in Dunoon, hasn't
exactly.
he? So he might be there. Not in Aberdeen, but in Dunoon.
They beat Kilmarnock in the cup in any. It's bizarre. I don't get it at all.
Well, Miowski. I mean, I think Miowski's a player. And there was talk in the window of why don't Celtic or Rangers get him and he'll make a difference in the championship. Now all of a sudden he's gone 7 games, not a goal.
Yeah, and you look at the games, you know, they've all got really got a picture attached to them. Hibs have got their top six ambitions, a dramatic night the other night, against Livy. Livy, there's still technically a chance there.
Yeah.
Ross County Hearts, Killie, St Mirren, that's an absolute cracker. Fifth against fourth, one point between them.
Yep.
The Hibs situation, you know, they were well beaten by Rangers last weekend, and I think Mick McGovern made too much of it. The two red cards, I mean, he's the only person in the place that didn't think they were red cards.
We did the sort of the story bit, you know, the managerial bit for the Motherwell game against Aberdeen, but sort of just on paper, a football matchup, that Killie St Mirren game's as big as they come this weekend, isn't it? St Mirren,
yeah, both Killie teams.
St Mirren, sorry.
Both teams doing excellent this season, because you would have looked at them and thought bottom six for both of them, but they've been brilliant, both teams. I think Derek McInnes, I think he said today about being knocked out of the cup, you know, being a blessing for them. I think he would have had an eye on that, you know, to get into a semi-final with Kilmarnock, but now they can fully focus on it and it's at Rugby Park, so yeah, it's a bit of a fixture this weekend as well, that one.
Okay, let's finish with the teaser to see if you can complete it. Thanks to Ryan in Malaysia for sending it in. 8 managers currently in the SPFL whose surnames begin with Mick: Ian McCall, John McGlynn, Rhys McCabe, James McPake, Jim McIntyre and Derek McInnes. 2 to get. There's one I just knew you wouldn't get. It's a small team. He's not that well known a manager. I just knew. But the other one
you thought we'd get.
Yeah. Formerly of Dundee United and Morton, not for very long, it has to be said. And Falkirk. Now at Forfar. Who's the Forfar manager? Oh dear. This is not going well.
Dundee United. What did you say, Dundee United? Morton.
But very small spell, short spell at Morton. Famously.
Blank.
Ray McKinnon. And all you have to do is name me the Edinburgh City manager. But I don't think you'll get it, you two.
Big
You've
Mac.
Just forgotten. Michael McIndoe.
Oh, never get that.
Oh, well, thank you very much to Hugh Evans and Simon Donnelly. And thank you for calling, for tweeting, for listening. Back tomorrow, and it is really heating up. Back to the Scottish Premiership action. Such an important period in this season. You won't want to take your ears off it. So join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because George is up next with the GBX.